Back at it now in the conversation focusing on your health care or lack thereof going forward in some areas. There's an emergency happening quietly in the country that a lot of people don't realize is happening because it's not affecting them directly. But if you live out in the hinterlands, if you live in rural America, your access to health care is getting tighter and tighter because hospitals are frankly going out of business. Hospitals are going bankrupt and can no longer survive out there. And that leaves people with a lack of care and a lack of options. Joining me now is Andrew Sherman, chair of the firm Sills, Cummins & Gross. And we're going to talk today about these bankruptcies. Andrew, welcome to the program.
Great. Thanks for having me.
So, first of all, what do you believe is the root cause of these hospitals? And I'm talking about, you know, in eastern Montana, in Michigan's Upper Peninsula, in the middle of Nebraska, all sorts of places that have lost hospitals across this country. And the phenomenon is getting worse, not better, isn't it?
That is correct. It's unfortunately, each year that progresses, there are more and more potential insolvencies in healthcare, and the problem is just not going away. It's something that we have to face as we evolve over the next number of years.
And okay, so what's causing this? These hospitals, you know, they've been there, some of them for, you know, 100 years or more, and yet they're closing down now. What has happened to make them not viable?
So there are a lot of different factors. One significant factor is Medicaid reimbursements. So the amount that hospitals get for doing procedures is just not sufficient to pay the costs. That's sort of the one root cause. But you sort of can go further than that. In these smaller hospitals, in these smaller communities, there's really not strong management. And what happens is larger systems are starting to compete, and you have issues where management is just unable to react to the sort of pricing pressures. So the larger systems can do things better, faster, cheaper, and people are just not going to the smaller hospitals. The more expensive procedures are being done, the higher margin procedures are being done at the larger institutions. So it's a I can go on for sort of 10 minutes just on that one subject, Steve, but
I understand.
It's a lot of factors.
But here's where I'm confused, because part of the articles that I've read, one of the articles I read from Bloomberg, said Americans are fleeing, that's the term used, rural areas in favor of urban centers. And yet where I am, I see people building houses in the country ever faster, farther away from the city. So I'm confused. Maybe they're leaving certain rural areas, but other areas are being more populated. Am I right or wrong?
No, I think that's spot on. But the fact is, the populations in the more rural communities are going to be more Medicaid and Medicare patients. So they're not going to have the private insurance which the hospital needs, right? So hospital revenues are incredibly complicated. But generally, if patients come in with government programs, whether it's Medicare or Medicaid, those reimbursement rates are going to be a little bit less than private insurance. So just the profits and the revenue stream from the hospitals continues to decline.
You know, what I'm hearing here is also that, you know, as the government fiddles around where it doesn't belong, and I believe in the private sector of healthcare, the government doesn't necessarily belong, the more it gets involved, the worse the outcome. What I mean by that is you've got all of these arguments about Medicare for all. That's one argument going on from the left. Then you've got the Affordable Care Act being struck down by the court in part. And you've got people saying, well, we should do this, we should do that. There's no certainty in what's happening. And how do you, if you're an administrator of a hospital, how do you map out a plan, a business plan that has any relationship with reality if you don't know what the reality is going to be?
You hit the nail on the head. That's exactly right. Is most businesses, they're able to project a revenue stream and understand what's going to happen in the state of healthcare. Basically, people are looking into a black hole because they're unable to project current revenues. That's you just hit a significant problem.
So, in your estimation, help me here. I mean, obviously, we're going to have some government funding of health care to one extent or another. That's not going away. We still have private health care dollars and insurance and so forth. I'm not sure how that's going to look after the 2020 election. I don't think anybody knows. But is there a mix in there that you think is a better mix than some of the alternatives that you've seen and discussed?
Yes. I mean, I think the way we've had our experience is, to the good and to the bad, the local communities are going to have to start chipping in to make sure that they have health care. That small rural community that there's no hospital within 60 miles, then taxes are going to have to go up. We did a case in Texas, and that's what that happened, is the community stepped in and said, we need a hospital, we need to protect our citizens, so that unfortunately where the costs of health care, it's going to drop down right down to the citizen.
But there's a multiplier there as well, I'm going to guess. We're with Andrew Sherman. He's chair of the firm Sills, Cummins and Gross. We're talking about the bankruptcies affecting smaller hospitals that have become, well, they've become non-viable. And so the multiplier effect to me is, okay, the hospital, and maybe it's a small hospital, 25 beds, 35 beds, not one of these big, you know, urban hospitals. But with that, the nurses are unemployed. The maintenance staff is unemployed. The janitors no longer have work. Those that worked in the kitchen, everybody gets. So there's a multiplier on the devastation to a small community.
It's broader than that, Steve. And we actually had a case where the local community did a study to see the economic consequence of the hospital leaving, because it's the small business that's feeding into the pharmacy. So the consequence of a hospital leaving are massive. It's just not just the effect of the local businesses, real estate values, and people aren't going to move to a community if there's not viable health care.
You know, that's exactly right. In fact, dealing with my wife's elderly grandparents looking for a new place to live, one of their first questions, one or two first questions, where's the nearest hospital? I mean, that's the first thing they ask.
Yeah, so we have a situation now in the state of Washington where a small hospital, a rural hospital, is going to have to close. And it's had dramatic effect on the community. The community came to court and was protesting, rightly so.
So what do we do? Here we are. We know that we have identified the illness. And the illness is healthcare systems and hospitals closing. And some of these hospitals are in big areas. You can find hospitals that are not viable in cities as well. But mostly, many of these are beyond the big urban centers. But what do we do to change the tide here? What could happen in an administration? What could happen in the private sector? What could happen in communities to make a different path possible?
So one thing that has to happen, in my estimation, is stronger management. Is the management of these institutions has to get ahead of these and understand that there may be certain service lines in hospitals that aren't viable. Maybe an OBGYN may not fit in that community for whatever reason, but it's costing X dollars to keep it. So basically, they have to rationalize their service lines to make sure that the balance of the institution is profitable.
So maybe the OBGYN doesn't work for an older rural community, but the emergency room does. Maybe, you know, care for you know, cancer care, whatever it might be, right? I mean, you're looking at different
that's
things.
That's exactly right. You may need cardiac in certain places, but may not need, you know, bringing in a neurosurgeon that's going to cost the hospital $1 million to bring in that doctor.
Right, and you're not going to run a level one trauma center in a county with 10,000 people.
That's exactly right, and that's where management has to really understand. And it went back to what you said before on sort of the black box of charges of what's going to happen. You know what your patient base is going to be. In the hospital world, we call that payer mix. And generally, the payer mix is going to stay stagnant. So if you understand your payer mix, you should be able to rationalize your service lines based upon that.
You know, maybe the bottom line is you can't have hospitals everywhere. Maybe there's a realignment. Maybe the bottom line is that, you know, with people leaving these areas to go back to bigger urban areas, maybe the bottom line is it wouldn't matter who is paying the bill. It's just not feasible. Is that a possibility?
Absolutely. The concept in the healthcare world is called overbedding. And if you sort of look to various parts of the country, they do talk about an overbedding percentage.
And that simply means too many beds to serve a particular area.
Correct. So you could have a hospital which has 180 beds but only has 20 patients, a census of 20 patients or 30 patients. So that in that instance, what are you going to do with that building? Is you have 400 employees servicing a 180-bed hospital but only 20 patients.
Yeah, then you've got a financial reality to deal with. Good conversation.
Exactly right.
Good conversation. Andrew, we're going to leave it there for today, but greatly appreciate you being here.
Oh, my pleasure.
There you have it. Andrew Sherman, everybody, chair of the firm Sills, Cummins and Gross PC in New Jersey. Appreciate it. Taking a break now on the Steve Gruber Show.